Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and Chuck O'Chelly, who's also a broadcaster, one of the few that I recommend. So get over to O'Chelly.com. In these days, you cannot afford to hear the truth, and there are only a few of us telling you the truth. So whatever you can do to support us through these times is always appreciated. And as I've let people know on social media, until we get through this, everyone is able to subscribe at the student or senior discounted rate here on my site. But like you, we all have bills to pay. And I'll tell you what, before Chuck, good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mom, I guess. We should start counting the days in the lockdown, I think. But I'm not sure if it's national because of all this disorganized nonsense that's happening. And by the way, I'm not talking about the government, although that's disorganized and that's nonsense too. I got to say, the supply chains have been revealed to be what they are, the on-demand supply concept. That's economically viable for the corporations to not lose their money in their large operations. But guess what? Those of us on the ground, get to suffer for the fact that, hey, look, their restock levels are not properly stocked.
You got to look at this. First of all, you've got no planes basically flying. Okay. The plus side is we have less air pollution. And a lot of our supplies come in from planes, even though people don't realize that. You've probably got no ships coming in or that aren't under quarantine. And then, truck, a combination of Trump and the F word. Mm. Trump changed the rules for truckers to where now the regulations are off, so they can drive until they pass out behind the wheel. He was cutting, a lot of trucking companies went bust before this, as I reported on my show. So you're seeing the worst side of capitalism ever. Okay, the free market. Well, nothing's free in the free market.
Yeah, that's the reality, that nothing is free in the free market. And, sadly, here we go. Unless you have a stockpile of money, you can't get a stockpile of goods. I guess some people did. I don't know where they are, because it's probably a good thing that people don't know where they are, because I'm wondering what the next stage could possibly be. Fascinating that the economy is doing what it's doing right now, because quite frankly, it was already starting to collapse, that bubble that we were in. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what to call that bubble. I'd like to call it the Trump bubble, because we had the tax cut that built up, the corporations to be able to buy back their stocks and all that. And I know I'm not a financial guy, so bear with me. But reality is very, very simple. The corporate culture, which has shifted over the past, 50 years or so, has set this up for exactly this moment. And the old expression about the chickens coming home to roost? Well, I know you don't eat meat, Maria, but a lot of people do. Nobody's going to get to eat those chickens because they ain't going to get delivered. Here we are, right?
Well, this is why I've been posting Italian recipes on Facebook, which people love, by the way, of simple, what we used to call peasant food. People don't understand. Italians ate the way we did because we were poor. So here you have, dishes that'll cost less than $3 to feed your family in quantity, which is what I grew up with. Pasta with this, macaroni and beans, macaroni and squash, macaroni with olive oil and garlic. Okay.
Turn it around into a soup. You got pasta vizzul, whatever you need.
Exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing is you got a cat, Chuck. Most people don't cook, don't know how to cook, forgotten how to cook, and became dependent on fast food for their food. I would think for people that don't know how to cook or don't even know, you know, listen, I went to the grocery store and like you, most of the vegetables were wiped out, okay? And you know I'm a vegetarian, so that's a quandary, okay?
But yeah, the more fresh and canned, by the way, you know, frozen, maybe, you know, I don't know about by you, but frozen, you might have had a chance to find something, but it wasn't what you were looking for, I assure you.
But here's the interesting thing. What did I find plenty of? Artichokes, broccolini, eggplant, because most people don't even know what they are, let alone how to cook them. So I said, wow, for Italians, I guess we'll be able to get through this because nobody knows what any of these vegetables are.
Well, you know what the problem is, though, is where I am, okay, and I know you're not happy with where it is I live. Believe me, neither am I. But where I am, those vegetables were non-existent to begin with.
I'm sure.
I mean, finding an eggplant over here was like finding a unicorn. and I love eggplant. I really do. But, I mean, it was like I can only have it a couple of times a year because somehow it just sneaks its way in, like a handful of them, into a produce section. Mm-hmm. So at a time like this, that stuff isn't even here. You don't see artichokes in the kind of neighborhood I live in. You don't see eggplant in the kind of neighborhood I live in. You know what you see usually is tons of pork, which they wiped out. By the way, it wasn't there. Empty meat cases, that's another thing. So if you want to eat meat, they already beat you to it. The other carry-on eaters got it, because that's what you are. You're not a carnivore if you eat meat.
Right.
By the way, let's be real about it. You're a carry-on eater because that's dead stuff you're eating, and that's what a carry-on type creature does. So you're eating dead flesh. But here's the deal: even that was gone.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I was in the store and my granddaughter was with me. We're walking, and we're probably about 10 feet apart because I walk faster than anybody I know. And she screams ahead of me and she says, "Grandma, there's no eggs." Right? So I looked at her from 10 feet away. I said, "That's okay. They're not good for you anyway." And this lady in the aisle just cracked up laughing because I don't buy eggs and I don't use eggs. But, you know, I'm looking at, you know, even you're talking about the meat. What Americans don't realize is Trump has taken off all regulations and basically inspection of meat. You no longer even have the right to know what country that crap comes from. Your chicken's being sent to China for processing and then sent back.
Well, that's got to be healthy, huh?
I'm just looking at this as, A, Americans might learn how to cook again, might learn how to stay home and actually have dinner with their family. And get healthier because there's going to be less to eat. Okay, less garbage to eat. You know, the garbage aisles, which I never go down, but I looked just, you know, just to see, they were stripped bare. Okay, so I'm like, okay, people are going to walk away either losing weight after this or gaining 20 or 30 pounds after this. So it's interesting days. And, you know, I think with the panic out there, the grandma in me came out. And that little poor Italian girl that grew up poor came out. And I made a list of things that people could do to stretch what they have. Because when we were kids, believe it or not, my father gave us something, even if it was the rare candy bar. He said, "Stretch it." We knew what that meant. Okay? We weren't going to take giant bites out of the bar. We treasured it like it was made out of gold. Okay? You know, I was around before the first grocery store, Chuck. So, you know, nobody had, you know, stocked up on toilet paper, things like that. You know, tissues, that was something rich people had in their house. Paper towels didn't exist. And when they did come out, that was something rich people had. You know, we most of the time didn't eat breakfast. Okay. If we had food for lunch, that was great. But, you know, that was a rarity, too. You know, it was usually a sandwich. OK, but dinner time, you know, my mother had, don't forget, we were a family of seven. She had to stretch $6 a day to feed a family of seven. So it was always a big thing of pasta and something else. And I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I'm a carbohydrate addict. But then when everybody started pressuring Italian Americans to be more American, I remember the cursed day that my mother brought meat into the house. And she thought that, you know, they gave you that. Your father worked all week so you could have this meat, you know, for your dinner on Friday, whatever the hell it was. And I used to say, but I don't want to eat that. I just want macaroni. Okay. But trying to be white, I guess, trying to be more American. I mean, peanut butter was never allowed in our house. My father just thought that was trash. But, you know, cream cheese, you know, a lot of times we just had cream cheese and jelly sandwiches. You know, and you know, listen, now they have paper towel rolls, if you can find them, that you can not only cut in half, but they come in quarters. Mm-hmm. But Americans have become so wasteful. You know, so many people panic buying water in bottles, okay? It's the same shit that you get out of your tap. It's just coming out of some other state's tap, plus the pollution of the plastic bottles. And I see the panic, where am I going to get water? And I'm like, you have a freaking sink in your house. That's where you're going to get water, the same as we do. Okay, it was shitty water. It's shitty water now, but it wasn't when we were kids. So, you know, when you've grown up poor, you know how to be poor. You don't want to be poor again, but you know how to make things last, which kind of reminds me, you know, my older sister has a lot of money. And she visited me a couple years back. And she sees the way I live. You know, I shut lights off when I'm out of the room. I don't let water run if I'm not using it. I take my canvas bags to the store, you know, at the time I was driving a Prius. And she said to me in the most insulting way, Chuck, you live like a European. And I looked at her and I said, and you say that like there's something wrong with that. Okay, so... You know, like we had our little discussion before the show. If you've got a lot of money, you can still get anything you want, from being tested for the coronavirus to, you know, a warehouse full of stuff. Right. But in this society, the way crony capitalism has destroyed this country, from when I was that little poor girl, we had a way out of poverty and we scratched our way out. It was available. It's no longer available. It hasn't been available for at least the past 20 years. So today, if you're born poor, you're staying there. There's no way out.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is what I had to discuss last night on my show personally, because I had a guest who kept talking about the reductive economy that we've had over the course of my lifetime, as opposed to a productive economy. And he was right. Now, I wouldn't put it that way because it's a little more clunky to me, but upward mobility is a reality that I watched evaporate. You know, again, when you came to adulthood, hey, here I was being born. So the world I came into was, there is this economy, which is, you know, when I became aware of it, stagflation was a thing. And that was that. Okay, but... Right. It got no better after that. Ever since then, it has constricted. It, you know, and I do use that word advisedly. I do mean like a boa constrictor suffocates its prey. This is exactly how it's gone. It's not necessarily a quick process. It doesn't happen overnight. Nobody necessarily takes notice. Sure, it's like the boiling frog. But I'm telling you, over the course of my lifetime, that is precisely what I've seen happen. And I'll say something else about those paper products. I didn't have napkins and paper towels when I was a kid either, and they were available, but who was going to spend money on that? You were trying to eat.
Exactly.
So, you know, even though it was available, no good. I mean, you know, I wore cloth diapers as a baby. I mean, I don't know how crazy I got to go here.
Right. You know. Well, but those were some of the suggestions I posted. You know, people are just such a panic. Oh, what do we do if we run out of toilet paper? Well, outside of buying, you know, Don Jr.'s book and wiping your ass with that, I'm like, you know, there's such an invention called washcloths. You know, people, young mothers here in the Valley, they went to the store, they couldn't find formula, they couldn't find Pampers, they couldn't find diapers. And listen, for both my kids, I used cloth diapers because it was safer and it was better for the environment. You didn't have to worry about getting a rash or any of that other stuff. So, you know, sometimes going backwards isn't such a bad idea, especially economically for families. If you have a washing machine, use cloth. You know, I always, I'm sure your mother does, your mother did too, Chuck. I always keep a towel in my kitchen or on the cabinet, right under the sink, just hangs there. That's what I wipe my hands on after I've done dishes or whatever. I don't rip off 10 pieces of paper towel to wipe my hands.
Oh, I got three or four of them, because here's the thing. If you actually handle food, you know, and you got to wash it off and everything else, you might want to wipe it on a towel and toss that aside so you can launder it right away. A general hand washing, you don't necessarily need to do that, right? You know, you won't need to dry your hands off after dishes, so I got like three.
Right. So, I mean, I have them all over the house. It's kind of like I have a glass of water in every room to remind me to drink water all day. So,
see, nothing wrong with that either. And you know, back to the baby formula, see, I couldn't have any of that stuff when I was a kid. So there was this process they went through, and I guarantee the elements to put it together are still there today. And it was with the Karo syrup and a little bit of evaporated milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was distilled water even somehow that was put into what was called my formula when I was a baby.
Right. But, you know, you look at it.
I don't know much about the process.
I don't.
Frankly,
it's been a long time for me. It's almost 50 years for me. But, I mean,
you know. I'm referencing something real.
Right. But, I mean, you know, these are not, you know, I know to young people, these are far out thoughts that this is how the world was. But you know what? None of us got sick. Okay. We played outside all day, literally in dirt. You know, we couldn't afford to take a bath every night. That was out of the question. Okay. So you had a sponge bathe with washcloths. What a concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people have to learn that, you know, you got to make do with what you got, and it's probably not going to last forever, although some days I wonder. But when I look at the opportunity in the world I lived in, and I made a post, and I was talking to my sister the other day, and I said to her, you know what, we basically grew up with nothing, but we had everything.
Mm.
And, you know, we had music in our house. We had love in our house. We had conversation in our house. We had friends and family in our house. These are things that I find a lot of my peers never had. And it amazes me, but, you know, a lot of my friends are, you know, super whites. Okay, I don't know how else to describe it. They're not Italians. They came from money. So they had a whole different experience. You know, they had no closeness in their house. They had no music. They had no joy, basically. But they had a lot of money. They got their college and everything else paid.
Well, see, it's a different emotional endocrine system, to be honest with you, regardless of even how you grew up. I mean, if you take a look at the fact that, because everybody's talking about Italy has been so hard hit, and sure they have, according to the numbers that are being reported. At all times, though, I reserve the right to be skeptical. Anything coming from the Italian government, because I've never known them to be anything but corrupt. But the thing about it is not necessarily the government and their reaction and their numbers, but the fascinating thing that I observed is even in the lockdown situation, you're watching people sing to each other.
I love it. I've been watching so many of those videos. And of course, you know, my sisters, you know, we're all Italian. We're all watching them because Italians know how to make the best of any bad situation. I mean, did we know how poor we were when we were kids? No. Okay. Because we had our mother and father loving us. Okay. So even when I saw those videos of Italy, you know, and now they're getting even more extreme because I saw a guy pulled out this used harp on his balcony. But I did love the one where they were all singing Volare to each other. And then that caught on because the people in Jerusalem started doing the same thing. Okay, people have to realize, you know, music is very healing. Okay, it's the language of love. So Italians have always managed to make the best of a bad situation. I mean, just look at how many times, you know, Sicily alone was invaded by marauders and they still survived. And speaking of Italians, you know, this morning before the show, and I haven't been watching Cuomo often, but I caught him this morning because everybody's been raving about the difference between Cuomo and Trump, who no one should be listening to. And I said, you know what? You got Italians know how to get things done. You know, everybody wants to look at Italians as we're all gangsters and mafia and losers, okay? But the bottom line is Italians know how to get things done. And the world, the whole country is, I look at the comments when he's speaking. Everybody says, why isn't this guy running for president? We get more hope out of him than we do from Trump. It's obvious in his pressers that shouldn't even be broadcast. Trump should have a ball gag in his mouth at this point. But it's obvious he's bored to shit. He hates what's going on. And he's probably pissed off that he can't be golfing every day on our dime.
Well, he's probably irritated also that his fellow virus stole his headlines because he had them every day until now.
Well, he doesn't have his Hitler rallies either, which is, you know, he needs that constant adoration. So anybody that corrects him, like Dr. Fauci, gets to disappear. Okay, I don't want to hear from Trump. I sure as hell don't want to hear from Pence. I want to hear from Dr. Fauci. None of those other people on the stage. That Surgeon General seems like a total moron to me. I want to hear scientists. I want to hear doctors. But here's the latest. Trump is now saying that if it was up to the doctors, they would keep the country shut down forever. And he wants the social distancing to end and everybody to go back to work. And if it cost us our seniors for the economy, then it's worth it. I mean, does he think he's a teenager?
Well, yeah, see, I keep wondering about this when these guys make these, you know, cost-benefit analysis statements. Well, here's the problem, of course. A guy like him doesn't have to worry about being a vulnerable senior necessarily. Because guess what? He's got health care paid for by you and me right now. That is the best in the world. He has access to anything he could possibly need. So the guys like this are not worried. Anybody with money, really, is not worried because they have access. See, again and again, just like when we talked about abortion, it was like, well, they make abortion illegal and abortion's a problem. Not if you're a rich woman, though.
That's right.
You see. So, because then it's just a medical procedure and, hey, that's between you and your doctor. HIPAA laws, baby. So that's the end of that.
Right.
You know, so here we go. Guys like this are not going to worry. Oh, they can make as many brash statements as they want and deny their elderly status as much as they want because, quite frankly, they've got the get out of jail free card when it comes to something going wrong. Guess who doesn't? Most of us.
Exactly. The rest of us. Listen, ever since I was a little kid, my mother used to say, the rich get richer and the poor get screwed.
Yeah, if they're lucky.
Right, if you're lucky. But, you know, you got to look at, you know, there are members of Congress who are old, who are testing for the virus. Do they think that they're exempt? But again, you see it with whether it's NBA players or whatever, or movie stars, whatever. They get the test right away. Okay, right. Well, the rest of America can suck wind and go back to work and kill your grandparents, but hey, it's for the economy.
See, but here's the thing. Is it really going to? I don't know. I still reserve judgment on that because most of this is based on projections from incomplete data. And I know people have yelled at me, you know, in messages. I've gotten a lot of email feedback on this, more on this subject than I've ever gotten on anything, Maria, believe it or not.
I believe it.
And I got to tell you, excuse me, there are people that are angry with me because I am sitting here saying, you know, let's hold on a second. Because although, you know, okay, this is all for the common good and, you know, everybody's just, okay, sure, give the government the power, basically shut us down. Martial law is a good thing. I don't care if they put troops on the streets. This is the response for everybody.
Of course.
And this is the problem with Cuomo, by the way, that I have, is that he's screaming for, well, we need the federal government to take over. You know what? Now he's doing some things for himself, and he's deciding to use the platform he has to kick back on that a little bit. Like, listen, I'm ready to do this myself. I'll make sure things get transferred. He's like, I'll get it done. Just give it to me. I'll get it done. Put a pin in that. But the thing is that we still have an issue here where the data sets are not complete. Well, they're rising. Of course they're going to rise. People are being tested now.
Right.
They didn't have data to report it before.
Right, it's common sense. That's why Trump didn't want the test out, besides waiting for his son-in-law's business to get online so he could make the money on it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing that we need to watch. You know, all the businesses are voluntarily going to come forward.
Yeah, right.
If you believe that, listen, I got some beachfront property right near Maria to sell you.
Well, here's the thing. If you remember, when his predecessor, George W., the idiot king, when he decided to deregulate all the the big polluters and said that they would regulate themselves. Okay, so how did that work out? You know, I look at this and I see a lot of comparisons between the time Bush was in office and Trump in office. They both broke the economy. If people think only the coronavirus is what hit the market, they haven't been paying attention. We've been bailing out the banks since September 27th. So
right.
This was nothing new. The global economy was ready to crash. Then you had the oil war between Trump's two buddies, Russia and Saudi Arabia, and then the coronavirus. So this is a plan that they have had in place for a long time. This is basically what I've been talking about on my show for 20 years. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. You can go to the Freemasons, you can go to the Protocols of Zion, whatever you want to look at. This has been planned to make the world basically a planet of slaves for the rich. So this is a golden opportunity for them to get this through. Now, you looked at Bill Barr, who was on the stage yesterday. Who the hell wants to hear anything he has to say? He wants to suspend our constitutional rights over this. No habeas corpus. Okay. Well, how about he starts with Trump? Just no charge, lock him up until whenever this is over. And I'm hearing this the same shades of 9/11 when the Patriot Act came out, and it was supposed to be temporary. When they tell us something's going to be temporary, it's going to be permanent. So if they get away with changing the rules and the Constitution, it will be permanent because Barr is a Federalist, member of Opus Dei, and wants religious rule in this country and a dictatorship.
When I saw him come up, I said, oh, great. You know, and I've been watching these press conferences and watching the, first of all, let us give all praise to Grand Leader. Before we even give you the information that we know you're all tuned in for, because he's doing such a great job. And now we're going to let him tell you what a great job we're all doing, and we're going to congratulate ourselves, and I'm surprised we're not seeing, arms in slings the next day from patting themselves on the back, and whatever else it is they do in rapid motion with their arms. Leave it to your imagination.
Right.
The thing is, this is what we're looking at. Almost nothing getting done, constant briefings.
And
I got to tell you, the anxiety level that's being pushed, as much as I want to fault Fox News for doing its denial, reversal, ridiculousness, they're just following the leader. And when you look at these other networks who now have a tally up, there was a day when the Chirons were not up on the TV news, right? They weren't up on the news channels of any kind. Those things run constantly post 9/11. Now you have a score, almost like keeping track of a sporting event,
mm-hmm.
on the side of the of these things now, where there's a special graphic to show you contagion and deaths, global, U.S., global, U.S.
Oh, yeah, and then state by state.
Yeah, it's a score ticker, okay? Whatever. This whole thing is exactly questionable for this reason. And like I said, I'm taking a lot of flack for it. I say, why is it that no one is questioning the way that they're changing all sorts of socialization? I get it. Be careful because there's a disease. But still, look at the flu. And I don't mean to side with the people that are Trump supporters, but look at the flu. And I keep making the point, look at the opioids.
Right.
How many days does it take to kill more people with opioids? It takes a week. basically to kill more people than what they are doing, you know, telling us this virus is killed now in this country. But we only got lip service for that.
Well, you know, one of the
disease, you see, oh, that's right. Okay. That's acceptable. See, here's the weird common thread. On the one hand, it's acceptable to sacrifice seniors, but it's not just seniors. On the other hand, it's acceptable to sacrifice, you know, some of those people, them, those people over there, whoever it is, based on what it is they fed you about the opioid crisis. That's all fine and good.
Right.
Right?
Oh, no, and listen.
You know how I know that? Because this has been going on now for years.
Of course. Listen, how many times have you heard me say, the only thing I trust our government to do is kill us all? You know, one of the figures I remember, well, when my gym was open, that's really the thing I missed the most.
Oh, right. You know what? I just thought of that. You can't go to your gym, can you?
That sucks so bad, I can't tell you. But I'm improvising. You know, we have a very pretty lake up here. And if you walk around the lake twice, it's a mile. So, you know, now when it's actually a sunny day, I'll walk around the lake. But, you know, I have some equipment at home, so I'm keeping my flexibility up, or I'm doing some yoga or some. I got back to doing Tai Bo, which I did like 40 years ago. So I have my DVDs and whatnot, but it's not the same. But I remember the last day of the gym, this older man asked me a question. And he said, what do you think about, you know, shutting this down and shutting that down? And I just looked at him because I had just done my new show. And I said to him, did you know that 8.8 million people die every year from air pollution? What are they doing about that?
There you have it.
I mean, that's a pretty impressive figure. And yet they ignore climate change. They ignore the pollution humans are creating. The silver lining of this shutdown is there's so much less pollution and traffic. And I've noticed it, and I got to tell you, it's a pleasure not to see planes, not to hear planes. I'm sure you saw the pictures out of Italy, out of Venice, where you can see the fish through the water, okay? And that's never going to happen when they have all their tourists and whatnot there. But, you know,
yeah,
the earth...
normally not a possibility in Venice, actually.
No. So it's almost as if Mother Earth herself has sent us all to our room. Now, whether we get the message or not is yet to be seen.
Well, you know, you've actually struck upon something that I'd like to take up with you in the second half, which is, as much as I see the government, the powers that be, the corporations, all looking for their normal opportunist opportunities, okay, and yes, I know I do double speak like that on purpose. Point is, you know, the opportunist opportunities, they are rising. There are certainly people that are going to seize upon this, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, you see it
already.
But on
the other hand, Maria, there's another aspect to this that I think you and I could unpack a little bit for the listener that I think is extremely valid and needs to be reckoned with also, because here's I don't ever like to project doom and gloom, and certainly I'm not doing it now. If this is making you anxious, if you're anxious about this situation, if this is bothering you, and I don't mean you, Maria, but you, the listener, I suggest that you turn this off. I suggest you turn everything off. And I'll tell you why. Because your anxiety level and getting, you know, allowing this to infiltrate every part of your psychology is also detrimental to your health. But here's the thing. There may be a reasonable explanation as to why COVID-19 is not going to be the first or last situation where maybe this is a very logical and natural thing that is occurring. And I don't mean to belittle anybody who's losing their life, losing their job, losing anything over this.
Right.
There could be a natural reason for a lot of what we're seeing, despite the fact that, you know, some people think it could be manufactured and everything else, which I don't subscribe to as of yet. I haven't seen enough evidence to back that. But
right. Well, let's
there
go.
Could be
let's,
a very logical, natural reason for this, Maria, right?
Right. Well, let's come back with that in our second half. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
We must be in the Twilight Zone or some other dimension because this is March Madness Special with Maria Heller. She's slashing her prices 50% off for March Madness. Not the other March Madness. This is her March Madness. 50% off for a half-hour session. Her readings are extraordinary, specific. She'll let you know what's going on in 2020 for you and where are the areas you need to shift. And when you take this advice, which, believe me, it's worth much more than the discount that you're getting, it's a gift. And you'll know exactly what you need to do specifically in order to have the life that you want and you deserve. Peace, joy, harmony, and financial prosperity, and all those things that when we're aligned with that higher power, we get them. Maria knows exactly what you need to do because she's so clear in her vision. She'll give you the answers, and she'll record your sessions so you can take notes when you listen to it. She's amazing. She's my favorite intuitive, and I get my reading once a year with her as well. So take advantage of her 50% off special. The special is on her website. Just go to the button that says donation, and you can click there for it. It's $100. I mean, that is an incredible price to pay. You deserve that. Give that to yourself. You can go out to dinner and spend that, and it's gone. This is going to be there for a lifetime, and you'll know exactly what needs to be shifted in order for you to have exactly what you deserve to have. Align yourself today with the source of love, and that's where you start. She'll give you the rest of the specifics, and enjoy your session with her. She's definitely worth it. Get your March Madness. It's available for the entire month. And remember that it won't be back until next year. Okay? Have a fabulous time with her session and with her. She's the best. Bye.
Okay, welcome back to Hell in High Water with myself and Chuck Ocelli. Get over to ocelli.com and support Chuck's work. Listen to the shows he puts out there. Chuck, before the break, we started very, very easily, started talking about Mother Earth. You know, when this thing started, first of all, I'm sure you know, and for some of my new listeners who may not know, I've been an avid environmentalist my whole life. Second, I've taught Native American spirituality and the philosophy of the medicine wheel at least half of my life. And it's a simple thing. You either live in a sacred manner on this beautiful living planet or you die. It's that simple. Right. And now we have an interdependence on all living things. And I don't know if you got to see it, Chuck, but last night, right after dinner, I went outside to have my coffee and six big, beautiful elk just strolled on by my house. And luckily my granddaughter filmed it. So I put it up on Facebook. I don't take things like that for granted, okay? When I pray or send Reiki or whatever you want to call it, it's to all living things. It's not just to human beings because humans are the most dangerous animal on the planet, and we have now proven that. Go to the grocery store and watch people punching people over items, okay? The animal, right? The animal instinct has come out, but you know, it's humans that create world wars, world famines, sanctions, murders, premeditated murders. Yes, there's murder in the animal kingdom. They murder for necessity, but we do it for fun, for thrills, for power. And it's the same thing, you know, we've used up the earth, we've used the ocean as a toilet for a thousand years. The ocean can't handle anymore. It's burping out carbon monoxide. It's at its max. We've contributed to the destruction of nature, the fires on the planet. You know, the filth, the air pollution, 8.8 million a year die from. No big rush to shut down the globe over that. And because of that, it makes me question this global shutdown more than ever, because there are worse things that humans are ignoring, because it all comes down to money. The money is more important, just like them saying, if we lose our seniors and, you know, grandparents will be happy to give up their lives for the economy, for their grandchildren. I mean, this is actually something a lieutenant governor of some state said this morning, okay?
Right.
Instead of, you know, you have to get, I've studied this all my life, And, you know, how many years, how many centuries did Native Americans say, you know, when you can't drink the water, when you can't eat the food, when there's no clean air to breathe, you're going to find out you can't eat money. So we have contributed another, you know, my teacher, Sun Bear, said that humans were like fleas on a dog's back. And when the dog had enough, she would just shake her fleas off. So that could be part of what's happening today. Another famous Native chief from years ago, like, you know, when we were first invaded, said that every time man drills into the earth, she releases another disease to protect herself. Mm. So, you know, people say, oh, that's legend and lore, and those people were savages and stupid. No, we're the savages. Okay, we have savaged this planet. People see nature as infinite. It's not infinite. These are finite resources. So perhaps, and I think that's where you were going with your question, perhaps this is coming from the earth, which is a living being, and say, right. You know what? I've had enough. And then I think about that ice melting, which a lot of people want to deny, but I've seen movies and documentaries, etc., changing the water, the salt water, into, you know, a balance that is not healthy. So you got a lot of things under the ocean dying. And what kind of diseases and bacteria is in that frozen ice that's been frozen for like 500 million years? We're not going to be able to deal with that. We can't even cure the common cold.
Right. You know, and here's the thing. Look, some people might say, okay, that's Maria's spiritual perspective. Well, let me just say a couple things about that really fast. You know, I am not precisely the same as you. However, I am adjacent to you spiritually. Let's put it that way. And we share a very deep respect for the Native people that were here in this land before us, for sure. And their concepts, their beliefs, their understanding, in fact, of nature. So, you know, let me just say this. Any prayer, any, you know, blessing, anything I do in what I can, and I identify myself as a pagan. And the fact is that they all begin, no matter what they are, they all begin with my gratitude to the earth. My gratitude to whatever it is, if it's a meal, I am grateful to the energy that is being given to me from whatever it is that has now had a life, is going to grant me life. Gratitude for that. Gratitude for my suffering. Gratitude for the sky above me. Gratitude for the wind. This is all included in everything I do.
No, that's great. And you should, you know, it's an attitude of gratitude. It sounds corny, but it's effective.
Well, I was going to say, it might sound silly to some people, but I'm telling you that I don't believe that I could live my life honestly without doing so.
All right. So let's look at the religious people. You know, I have a sister who is very religious, okay? Mm-hmm. And I called her yesterday just to see how she's getting through this. And here's what religious people are thinking, which I don't think is any better than what I just said. Far from it. This is God's will. God promised this. This is Armageddon. This is the end of the world. So which one would you rather believe? Which one sounds better to you? Because if this is their Armageddon, the end of the world, that means heaven or hell is awaiting you.
Well, it's okay. Franklin Graham's running commercials right now telling you that all you got to do is call his hotline and pray with his people on the phone and you'll be fine. So, you know, don't worry about it. If you're in that area, you do that.
What about what about Mike Pence giving a speech and telling people to keep, you know, tithing to the church? How is this possible in a country that's supposed to have separation of church and state for him to be hawking for the church?
You know, that's the only piece of good news is that a lot of these churches have been shut down now for their services.
Some of them are not. Some of them are getting threatened now that if they continue to hold their, you know, big, large crowds, they're going to bring in the cops, and they should. But, you know, all these gonifs, and, you know, gonifs is a Yiddish word for thieves. Because I did grow up in New York with a lot of Jews. But you have a lot of these gonifs running these churches that are promising people salvation with anointed handkerchiefs. Don't be afraid. This anointed handkerchief is going to keep you alive. I mean, these people have no idea that their souls are so doomed that there'll be no travel for them. They'll just become reused energy going back to the source.
Yeah, recycled.
Recycled shit. But, I mean, listen, if people are in fear out there, it's because they don't have knowledge. If they don't have knowledge, they probably don't have a spirituality that works for them. So I'm not saying, listen, you could be a Jew, you could be a Catholic, you could be anything you want to be. Live your program, though. Live your religion. Okay? The basis of every religion, even Allah, is love your neighbor. I'm not seeing that love your neighbor right now while everybody's viciously trying to kill themselves over toilet paper.
Well, the other suggestion across almost every religion or pseudo-religion that I've ever seen, to be honest with you, if you dig deep enough, you'll find that Mother Earth indeed is maybe not called Mother Earth, but there is life from here, and it is alive. The planet is alive, okay? And I believe very conscious. And it would not surprise me at all that after a great deal of abuse, this is not the first time, but with a great deal of abuse to a living thing in any circumstance, guess what happens eventually? You beat a dog long enough, it will bite you. All right? So the planet, a much more complex system of life, maybe has more sophisticated ways of dealing with its pests and its fleas. And here we are. So, whether it's the native understanding, whether it's, more of a, Eastern philosophy,
Druid,
whether it is the pagan
matter.
Concept. Right. Here's the thing. It is very possible that, you don't have to manufacture something because maybe the Earth is finally deciding, I've had enough. And look, between the oil, the plastic, the onslaught of all kinds of crap going around for the breathing apparatus, for everything on the planet, because, there's a lot of people that die, but there's a whole lot of a life exterminated.
Right.
Because of industry, because of, deforestation, because of, name it. Okay? And
but it all comes down,
everything strikes back.
All comes down to greed. It comes down to, listen, I think it was Gandhi who said the earth has enough for everybody's need, but not everybody's greed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, the 1% or the top 10% or whatever percent you want to give it to, these people have no human emotions whatsoever, starting with Trump. He's the greatest example of a non-human I've ever seen. But when you look at them, and people are starting to post on social media, hey, all you celebrities, all you super rich people, what are you doing for us? We don't want you singing for us. What are you doing for us? What are you doing with your money?
Right.
As long as you have, listen, as well as I do, since this world began, two of the great controls on the human race have been politics and religion. So until people say, these politicians work for us, which most Americans have forgotten, and say, question their religious belief, which is all about control, nothing's going to change. And I can tell you this, as I look at this, Chuck, it surely looks to me that this could be a permanent situation of control. Beginning this was just a test run, but this is lasting pretty long to be a test run.
Well, you know what, though? Never underestimate exactly how far people are willing to take things when the public will readily accept it. That's the fascinating thing. It is not like a natural disasters happen in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of thing emerges in a small area, to be honest with you, where a curfew is put in place. I don't know how a curfew is going to fight a virus, but anyway, a curfew is put in place. They try to control traffic. They try to control commerce. They try to control the movement of people because looting happens in the dark. I get that. Mm-hmm. I'm not alarmed by the National Guardsmen. What I will be alarmed by is when the Army Corps of Engineers is not the only military we see domestically. What I will be alarmed by is when people are really willing to accept the government demanding your paperwork when you want to go somewhere,
right.
Which, by the way, is coming, and it's something we didn't even talk about.
Well, yeah, it's not only coming. I think they put that into play in Spain. You've got to literally show your papers.
Right. San Francisco's already got it. But I'm saying that they're preparing on a corporate level, like the people at Walmart were explaining to somebody I know, that they're preparing. They're telling their managers on the local level, get ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't do that because they have no idea that it's coming and they're guessing.
Right.
Okay, so I am alarmed by where this could go. There are two issues here. And the issue is there is the disease itself. Maybe it is a naturally occurring thing, and maybe no matter what we lock down or do, there's nothing can be done. Maybe we can somehow battle back and not necessarily have a big problem. And yes, I do know that it is a sad thing that a small amount of the population is sure to lose their lives. But that happens every day. Context. That's all I'm asking for there. I don't say that it's not terrible, and I wish that there was a way that we could all just stop reproducing and live as long as we like and only get rid of the people that don't know how to behave themselves. That would be wonderful.
Right. Well, but, it's interesting you say stop reproducing because now that I'm home, I'm sure like you, you get pitched a lot by people that want to come on your show. But I just got pitched by somebody who's on a overpopulation group, which and I guess he never expected an answer from me, but I said to him, I'm probably the only broadcaster that's ever covered overpopulation because no one wants to talk about it. It's very unpopular. So I'm booking extra shows with people because I'm home. Why not? You know what I mean? So my audience is going to get a lot of extra shows, and I got a big surprise coming for them next week. But we're just locking in the time, so I don't want to let it slip out yet. But I can tell you that especially my long-term listeners are going to be super happy to see who's coming on the show next week. I'm doing the best I can like everybody else. You know, I believe in sharing with people. I believe in not being a pig. I believe in still smiling at people, and even if it makes them feel a little more secure when you pass them on the street. Listen, we'll get through this one way or the other. I've been saying forever, right. You know, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. And maybe 2020 will be the year people have clear vision, will finally open their eyes to the failure of every government on this planet and take their power back.
Well, that was the thing that we said, you know, at the very beginning of the year is that, I think I might have said it first, but I know you agreed with me. I think that this year will be the year of clarity, which is kind of funny because people consider 2020 vision to be perfect. It's not. It's standard. But thing is, you have clarity at 2020. And that is the year, and I believe that's what's going to happen for a lot of people. I do not believe, you know, that all of the people will become, you know, suddenly enlightened. But I think that a lot of things are going to be made clear this year, and certainly with what's going on now, I believe I was accurate about that. I believe you were accurate about that, and stay tuned, baby, because it's going to get strange.
Strap on your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride, or as the Howdy Doody, was it the Howdy Doody? No, it was Mickey Mouse Show. You remember how they had a different song for every day of the week? And I think it was Wednesday is an anything can happen day. Well, it seems like we're in an anything can happen day every day. So all I can keep reminding people to do is stay in the present moment. Okay. None of us, with or without this virus on Earth, none of us are guaranteed anything except today. Okay. So that's why they call it the present. Because it's a gift. I mean, you know, tomorrow you could be crossing the street, get hit by a truck. You know what I mean? Anything can happen. There's no guarantee on life. And reminder, we all have an expiration date. And if this is the way you're supposed to go or you chose it, that's what's going to happen. Don't give in to the fear, because anybody that believes this illusion is real hasn't read Einstein and doesn't understand true spirituality. So, you know, just enjoy the ride. Wasn't that Bill Hicks?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's nothing wrong with situational awareness, but guess what? You're not in control. That's the reality, and you're going to be here for as long as you're going to be here, and when you're not, you're not. Just like yesterday is in the books, tomorrow is not guaranteed, and today is all you got. See, you got a poem out of me, Maria. How about that?
Pretty good. You're a poet, and you know it. You know what the shortest poem in the world is, and this is the truth. Do you? Chuck?
Oh, you just, it's something happened there. I guess I broke the phone line temporarily. Sorry.
Oh, the shortest poem in the world. And listen, we have to have levity, because without laughter, we might as well all throw ourselves off a building. The shortest poem in the world, and this is the truth, is called Fleas. And it's two words, Adam had 'em.
I love it.
Well, Chuck, I want to thank you for continuing to do your show because, you know, in these days, people need to find a place where they can hear the truth or something that makes sense to them without the fear and fear-mongering, fear porn that's out there 24/7. And letting people know, listen, we're in this with you, okay? We're not sitting on some high mountaintop, you know, saying somebody peel me a grape. I mean, we're in this with you. We're going through it with you. And what we do for you too. And there you have it.
Absolutely.
Well, Chuck, thanks so much, and you stay safe, and I'll talk with you soon.
Always good to talk to you, Mom. Thanks
Same
so much.
Here. Take care. Chuck Ocelli. Check him out at ocelli.com. And yeah, I got a couple of good surprises coming your way. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for hanging in there with me. I want to thank you for your great emails. For your support. It's not just your financial support, because believe me, I'm not getting rich here. It's your support, your love. You're constantly with me. We are in this together, and there's power in numbers. So again, thanks again, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.